The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Brian Mazurowski.
We're starting in Baltimore. We've learned the cargo ship that caused the Baltimore Bridge collapse was carrying hazardous materials.
The chair of the National Transportation Safety Board, Jennifer Homendy, says there are 56 containers on the ship holding such items as corrosives, flammables, and lithium-ion batteries.
Some of the hazmat containers were breached. We have seen sheen on the waterway.
She says the NTSB will release a preliminary report on the incident in 2 to 4 weeks, but she cautioned that a full investigation could take 12 to 14 months. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
It could be a very long time. Meanwhile, the disaster in Baltimore putting a spotlight on bridge construction and safety across the country, including here. WBEN's Brayton Wilson is here with a closer look.
City of Buffalo engineer Nolan Skipper says bridges across the city range from fair to good condition, but adds there are a few bridges out there that he knows need some investment made in order to ensure its structural integrity.
We have a number of other bridges that are on the radar for continued maintenance, as simple as curb and joint projects, bridge washing projects. So we have our low-level maintenance, but we also range to those bigger projects too, where we're investing quite a bit of money thanks to city, state, federal levels on our bridges.
While bridges across Buffalo that are under the city's jurisdiction are not quite to the magnitude of those in Baltimore and other cities across the nation, Skipper understands very well that bridge infrastructure is a very costly but also very delicate piece of the puzzle, and the investments put in for city-owned bridges and capital improvements are key to keeping unforeseen incidents from happening. Skipper says city engineers have designed bridges locally for certain structural capacity, depending on where the bridge is and the loads that might go over it regularly.
We design accordingly to all standards. You can only design to a point for standards, though. Obviously, if there's a freak event that might bring unforeseen conditions. A lot of people know in the 50s we had our Michigan lift bridge go down, so that's one of those scenarios, freak accidents, where we had to rebuild an entire bridge that we owned.
More from Skipper on city bridges is available for you online. Brayton Wilson, WBEN.com News.
I didn't know that, going down, but you see the construction going on, right? The Michigan-Ohio Street Bridge.
Right.
It seems like the past 5 years, yeah, they've always been under construction. And you go on the 290, the overpasses, not the bridge over water per se, like we've been talking about, but still a type of bridge, been under construction. Going back over the last 5 years, they've been doing a lot of work on that. I know
Skyway,
Twin Cities. It's always, kind of a ongoing maintenance. And it's one of those things where, it's a big problem when it's happening, but no one can ever complain about them redoing a bridge because it's always safety and to make sure that things in tip-top shape.
And we'll be following this morning, too, with more interviews from Baltimore. Meanwhile, the incoming president of SUNY Buffalo State is out even before he begins. SUNY Chancellor John King announced last night the appointment of Dr. Chance Glenn has been rescinded. Dr. Bonita Durand, who's currently serving as interim president of Buffalo State, will now remain in that role through the 2026 academic year. Reports surfaced recently of possible conflict of interest issues where Glenn is currently serving as provost at the University of Houston, Victoria.
Two people have been charged with robbing and then kidnapping an elderly man in Niagara County. The Niagara County Sheriff's Office said that 31-year-old Gregory Perry, 35-year-old Ashley McMillan, both from Niagara Falls, have been charged with second-degree kidnapping, second-degree assault, and second-degree robbery. The arrests came following an investigation into a missing person in the town of Niagara, both currently being held in Niagara County Jail.
Sentencing day for a former cryptocurrency mogul in New York. Federal prosecutors say Sam Bankman-Fried stole more than $8 billion of customers' money and calling for up to 50 years in prison. Andrew Dimbert reports lawyers are asking for 6.5 years, insisting a long sentence is not justified for a nonviolent first-time criminal.
Sam Bankman-Fried was found guilty of 7 charges in connection with the collapse of the cryptocurrency exchange he founded, FTX. Bankman-Fried became a billionaire at age 30 by creating that exchange, but after siphoning billions in customer funds from FTX to keep his privately controlled hedge fund afloat, prosecutors today hope to send him to prison for up to 50 years.
That's a wide range there. You know, his defense attorneys want 6, prosecutors want 50. We'll see where this lands.
I think it's going to be pretty interesting to watch later on today. Well, sad news yesterday. Former U.S. Senator and vice presidential candidate has passed away. More from Brian Enten.
Joe Lieberman has died after suffering a fall. That is according to his family. Lieberman served 4 terms as a senator for Connecticut until 2013. Back in 2000, he was Al Gore's running mate and became the Democratic nominee for vice president. It made him the first Jewish candidate on a major national party ticket.
He was 82 years old, so sad news yesterday.
Another city making a deal to keep their sports teams in D.C., the Washington Wizards and Capitals will stay in the city after negotiations fell through with officials in Alexandria, Virginia. D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser made the deal with owner Ted Leonis to stay until 2050.
Several months ago, we came together as a city and we said we're going to fight for our teams. We put together what we thought was the best offer. It is an offer that's not only good for the teams, it's good for Washington, D.C., and I dare say it's good for this entire region.
A renovated Capital One Arena is part of the $515 million deal that will be folded into the city's capital budget to be paid over the next 3 years, but still requires D.C. Council's approval. I can't believe the length of this, though, until 2050.
Yeah, it's a long time. Big renovation, obviously, but just think about that. The city is going to pay $500 million. Just the city. It's not, well, it's D.C. It's right. There's no state or anything else. $500 million just from the city. And they're not even really getting anything new.
Right.
I mean, it'll be a little expanded, but it's still going to be the same arena at the end of the day. And $500 million, and they were saying that's a great deal at the announcement yesterday. Well, the Sabres last night got blown out by Ottawa.
Should be a good night tonight watching the likes of 85, 26, 4, and 72. There's a shot right on the line, and they tap it in. It just squeaked behind Luukkonen, causing some problems here. And once again, the Ottawa Senators trying to free that one in the front of the net. All alone, backhand scores, 3-0 Ottawa. Here's Chychrun. He scores. Bumped in front, scores. Brady Tkachuk.
Certainly wasn't enjoyable to watch, and it was disappointing. Can you pinpoint it? We're going to obviously look at it and discuss as you would with players and work to resolve it.
Okay. 5-2 ends up being the final score. Senators scored all 5 of their goals in the first period. Ottawa, if it wasn't for Columbus, would be the last team in the East right now. So things not going great for the Sabres. Their return home, you know, last time they played at home, there was excitement. You know,
right.
they won.
Oh, it's so different.
Hey,
last night
we're maybe in the playoff picture.
Yeah,
last night.
I mean, is it lights out now? Is it official?
It's not official, but because of the way the league is set up, like nothing is ever official until there's like a week left. I mean, they have been realistically out of the playoffs.
We know, yeah.
Since about a month into the season.
The exclusive WBEN7 weather forecast calls for plenty of sunshine this afternoon. We'll see cool highs in the mid-40s. Clear to partly cloudy tonight, turning quite chilly. Overnight lows dropping off to near 30 degrees. Sunshine mixing in with clouds tomorrow afternoon. A stray sprinkle possible, otherwise plenty of dry time. We'll see cool highs in the low to mid-40s. Increasing clouds for Saturday with a chance of afternoon and evening rain showers. It'll be milder with highs near 50. Partly sunny skies for Easter Sunday with highs close to 50 degrees. With the exclusive WBEN7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Mary Beth Roble.
The bridge collapse in Baltimore is bringing to mind an incident at the Peace Bridge here in Buffalo in 1986. And joining us now on the WBEN Trocare College Live Line is former WBEN and longtime Buffalo news reporter Brian Meyer, my mentor, actually. Brian, nice to have you on.
It's great to be here, folks. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. You were here at WBEN at the time this happened. A barge was being towed in the Niagara River and broke loose, slamming into an abutment of the Peace Bridge. What do you remember?
Well, it was certainly one of the more unusual stories I covered during those days. It was and certainly initially a shock anytime a massive structure, 250-ton structure, hits a local bridge. It's a big story. But what happened was this salvage operation was so problem-plagued that it literally dragged on for several months. It became what some called barge mania, failed attempts. There were, you know, the fierce current was an issue. Bad weather plagued the salvage operation. There were mechanical issues and equipment failures and so forth. And when it was all said and done, a federal report later called it one of the more difficult and complex salvage projects in naval history. So it was really something else.
Can only imagine. And it's kind of wild to me that, you know, I wasn't around back then, but I haven't even heard of it. I mean, that seems like one of these big stories that would live in Western New York lore.
Yeah, you would think so. You know, for the old folks like me, you know, the memories a little bit faded after 37 and a half years. But you would think that there would be a little more, you know, folklore at least about it, because it was a really big issue. And, you know, I remember people literally pulling their cars over on the 190 watching, when is the barge finally going to be, removed? And in fact, two brothers who served in the Coast Guard Auxiliary, they were on the Tug Nash, one of the tugs that were involved in the operation. They were inspired with the on again, off again salvage operation to write a song using the music of a Annie song. The barge will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow will be the day. And finally, in late December of 1986, the barge was towed to a site not too far from the Bethlehem Steel Plant.
I don't remember that song, but that's really a funny part of it. It became like a daily drama, though, didn't it? And it was, as you said, it was a spectacle. People were driving by just to see it.
Yeah, and reporters, we would get on to a Coast Guard vessel that was docked. It was almost the informal command center, if you will. And we would get blow-by-blow updates about what was going right, too often what was going wrong, you know, mechanical malfunctions. And it was a very tricky operation. Remember, the current, you know, in the Niagara is extremely fierce. And this is a big, I mean, certainly not even, you know, close to the size of some of these, you know, cargo ships that we're talking about today. But it was a big vessel in fierce, fierce waters and a lot of bad weather, just plagued by some bad weather during the salvage days. And it really was a saga. There's no doubt about it.
I mean, I can only imagine that. The incredible thing is that the Peace Bridge was still standing. I mean, you mentioned a barge. These things are not small boats.
Right. There were some early concerns about the integrity of the Peace Bridge. The bigger concern, as I recall, was the International Railroad Bridge, about a mile and a half downriver. And the concern was, if the current somehow, you know, dislodged this barge or part of the barge, and it just went sailing down, that could be an issue. Also, a lot of concern about small boat safety. And this huge barge was actually causing an increase in the Lake Erie water level, because it was restricting the lake's outflow. So there were just a lot of issues that, you know, when is this barge finally going to, you know, leave our waterfront type of drama.
And we also got to get, I guess it was kind of like a household name at the time, John Derbyshire, right? He was with the Army Corps.
Yep, he was the spokesman. I remember him for the first barge lift, the first attempted lift. He talked about how it was going to be a long, slow process. He was talking hours, and boy, that became the real long, slow process, because it dragged on for a long, long, long time.
Dragged on and on and on. It's like a forgotten Buffalo story, right? That's kind of being dragged up in people's memories right now. I'm sure you got a lot of those.
I do. Let's not get into Jimmy Griffin. But let's stick with the barge. Yes, yes, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Brian, did you recall anything with damage to the Peace Bridge itself because of this?
I don't recall any damage, and I looked into my annals, and I don't see any mention of any substantial damage. That was, I think it was Pier 4 of the Peace Bridge. And, you know, it's a pretty sturdy bridge. And again, this was a, you know, not a vessel that was, you know, gargantuan by cargo ship, you know, standards. So I didn't know anything. When it broke loose from its tug, it was being taken from Detroit to Virginia. The tugboat actually capsized and sank.
That's again adding to this unbelievable story. It's all starting to click now, Brian. It makes sense when, you know, everybody was talking about a new peace bridge or anything, that somebody finally came and said, look at this thing, it withstood the barge. There's no way we can replace it.
Exactly.
That's the real reason why.
Barge mania lives on 38 years later. We're resuscitating it.
Brian, thank you for joining us and remembering this story.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure chatting with you folks.
Right. Great to hear from you. Brian Meyer, longtime WBEN and Buffalo News reporter.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.